Radio for Cats, fair and warmer. Happy music, top performer. It's sunny here, so stay in tune, cause it's gonna be Flair this afternoon.
Hi, this is Flair, and I'm Dick Van Dyke. Now let's go over, not to Davy Jones's locker, but to Larry Storch's, as he takes out a couple of smile-worthy stories.
Now if your wishbone's connected to your ear bone, and your ear bone's connected to your funny bone, now prepare for your funny bone to get connected to Flair.
This is Larry Storch for Flair. You know, I think people can get a good laugh around their neighborhood if they just keep their eyes open and listen to the conversation. And I'm always reminded of the little story of the two women who were talking over the clothesline, and one woman said to the other,
"Did you see what Fidel Castro did last month? Did you see what Castro tried to do last week? Did you see what Castro tried to do yesterday?" And the other woman said, "I don't see nothing. I live in the back."
And then another one I'm always thinking about and I got to chuckle out of. There's two women who were talking. One said to the other, "Martha, what do you think about red china?" And the other one said, "Red china? Well, red china on a yellow tablecloth is lovely." And then this happened right around our neighborhood tavern. A woman came into the bar looking for her husband. She'd found him at the bar and he was drinking pretty good. And she says, "Oh, Harry, come on home. No more whiskey. Let's go home together, arm in arm, just you and me. The kids are waiting for their dinner and Grandma's coming over. Your favorite cowboy show is on. What do you say we go home?"
And the husband says, "I'll go home with you only after you take a little drink yourself."
And she was trapped, and she did. She took it down.
"Oh," she says, "Harry, whiskey is terrible. It tastes like poison, just like poison."
And the husband says, "Yeah, see? And you think I'm out having a good time."
Judy Garland says this is her lucky day. It's also John Steinbeck's lucky day because 61 years ago today, he was born.
Oh, boy, I'm lucky. This is my lucky day. I'm all in clover. I'm glad all over. I want to shout hooray. I found a horseshoe, couldn't go wrong. And then, of course, you happen along. This is my lucky. Oh, wow, I'm lucky. This is my lucky day.
Flair decorator Betsy Palmer says the newest thing is ersatz fur. I wonder what it'll be when they finish killing off all those ersatzes.
Here's Betsy Palmer for you, to tell you just what you can do. With paint and with fabric and decorating abric, a dabrak too.
This is Betsy Palmer for Flair. You know, it's interesting how one can keep up with decorating trends. For instance, I got a tip on a trend from a baby photographer. No, he wasn't a baby. He takes pictures of babies. And one day he was taking one of my baby.
Miss Palmer, how about taking one of the baby lying on a fur rug? It's a big thing nowadays.
He went on to explain that in a lot of the homes he visited, there was usually something in fur that he could use to pose the baby on. Well, I must confess I was a little dubious at first, because the only baby on rug photographs that I'd ever seen were taken of my great-great-grandparents when they were babies, and you know how long ago that must have been. Well, anyway, I did some checking and learned that the photographer was correct. Furs are now being used by the modern homemaker in a variety of ways. Does this mean that more and more husbands are beating the bush in African safaris? No, simply that science has given us a marvelous array of synthetic materials that are almost the exact replica of furs ranging from zebra to mink. Not only are they easier to obtain than authentic furs, but they're cheaper and easier to work with. Consequently, instead of merely using them for throw rugs, the new synthetic fur materials can be used for covering sofa pillows, folding screens, hassocks, or anything else to which you want to give an exotic look. One thing to remember, though, don't go overboard in your predilection for furs, lest your neighbors and friends begin to think you're too fur out for comfort, for goodness sake.
Thanks, Betsy. The orchestra of David Rose is on the thorns of a dilemma about what to play. Word has it they'll settle on some of these days. Hollywood interviewer Joe Layton asked actor Gig Young how he got his name. So simple. I'll bet all he did was spell G-I-G backwards.
From Gina to Marlin to Tarzan on down, Joe Layton circulating with the biggest stars in town.
From time to time, I've told you how certain movie stars got their names. Some of them, like Jack Lemmon, fought mightily to keep their real names and succeeded. Others were simply told what their new names would be, like Gig Young, whose real name is, or was, Byron Barr, which sounds more like a movie star's name than Gig Young. Doesn't it, Gig?
Yeah, it's too phony, isn't it? Almost.
Yes.
Byron Barr. No, I think that I'm not keen about the name Byron, strangely enough. I don't know why. But,
what do your friends call you?
Gig.
Is
mm-hmm.
Gig something in your background that...
Well, actually, this was not my doing, but the very first part I played in a motion picture was Gig Young, in a picture called The Gay Sisters. You know, those were the days, Joe, when people went to a preview and they filled out cards saying they hated it or liked it or what did they like and what didn't they like. And the people who referred to me every... Not one person referred to me by the name of Byron Barr, isn't that strange? But they referred to me, those who referred to me, as Gig Young. So Jack Warner said, well, he said, that sounds marvelous. He said, would you object to changing your name to Gig Young and we'll redo the, the front end of the picture and say Gig Young, played by Gig Young. And that's how I got the name.
Wait until you hear how movie star Sal Mineo fought to keep his name. Maybe next week we'll get around to it. Meantime, Joe Layton here in Hollywood for Flair.
Thank you.
Carlton Fredericks tells about some of the things that can happen 25 years from now. Well, for one thing, you can watch Cleopatra on The Late Show.
Nutritional whiz kid Carlton Fredericks has advice for you to follow and vitamin information for you to swallow.
This is Carlton Fredericks for Flair. I'm going to assume that this is a group about 40 years of age. That shuts out women because all women are 30 or approaching it. Except they won't tell us from what direction. Now, if you are a group approximately 40 years of age, we can say that about 60% of you or more will survive to the age of 65. But the insurance companies tell us also that about 60% of the survivors, or 36% of the original group, at the age of 65, will have as constant visitors from there on through the twilight years such degenerative diseases as arthritis, diabetes, heart trouble, high blood pressure, and hardening of the arteries. This degenerative disease, says Dr. W.B. Kuntz, writing in Industrial Medicine, is not a necessary concomitant of aging in years. He says disease changes are the results of phenomena of exhaustion that may be corrected, and he attributes this concept to new knowledge about nutrition, the influence of proper food on the human mechanism, and the effects of stress. He emphasizes that older people need hormone treatment and vitamin treatment and mineral treatment. Even though they have adequate blood levels of these nutrients, they still will respond, he says, to supplementary administration. And proper medical management of individuals in the middle years in this way may add at least 20 years to life, he promised.
Here's Peggy Lee.
I could have danced all night. I could have danced all night and still have begged for more. I could have spread my wings and done a thousand things I've never done before. I'll never know what made it so exciting. Why all at once my heart took flight. I only know when he began to dance with me. I could have danced, danced, danced all night. Thank you.
Garden expert Ruth Lampe says it's very important to test your soil. Next step after that, of course, is to grade it.
You can overcome and ungreen some, have harvest like the farmer in the Dell. Just don't despair, start digging flare and garden to a fare-thee-well.
Hi, Ruth Lampe for Flair. Parlez-vous français is one of the few phrases left over from my high school French. It's not necessary to understand French to be a good gardener, but there's one basic garden term that comes from the French language. This down-to-earth expression is pH. The symbol pH is an abbreviation of the French phrase puissance de hydrogen. Now, rather than get involved in a discussion of hydrogen ions, let's just settle for the fact that pH measures the active acidity of a substance such as soil. It's expressed by numbers on a scale. The neutral point on the pH scale is 7.0. As you go lower on the scale, towards 1, the pH value becomes more acid. Higher than 7.0, it becomes more alkaline. It's important to know the pH of your soil because some plants like acid soil, others alkaline, and many neutral soils. A plant that likes a fairly neutral soil with a pH of 6.5 to 7 will sulk if planted in soil that has an acid pH of 2.5. That's why soil tests are important, to see how the soil rates and how it should be treated to adjust the pH to the requirements of the plant. If you haven't had a soil test taken recently, check with your county agent or State College of Agriculture and find out how to get a soil test mailing kit. This is a good thing to do as soon as you can get a trowel in the ground to get a soil sample, and you'll have taken the first step to having a more successful lawn and garden in the coming spring.
It happened in Sun Valley, and they're still talking about it. Well, at least Joe Stafford is.
It happened in Sun Valley not so very long ago.
There were sunbeams in the snow,
and a twinkle in your eye. I remember oh so clearly that you nearly passed me by.
Then it happened in Sun Valley when you slipped and fell, and so did I.
Keep all you prospective anglers from floundering around, I have prepared a glossary of very fishy definitions for you. First, there's surf casting, auditioning actors for a Russian slave musical. Trawling, I read you rows of trawling. Angling, the country where Elizabeth II is queen. Perch, founder of right-wing society, first name John. No fishing, the object of nuclear test ban treaty. Night crawler, that's Sir Lancelot's baby. Reeling in, how Charlie Weaver arrives for the show. Sturgeon, that's someone who gets called to sturgery. Bobber, a fan of the Attorney General. Tuna,
That's the channel selector on an Italian TV set. Nylon line, a sale on stockings. Waiters, if you ever find out how to catch their eye in a restaurant, let me know. Well, that should land a lot for you. I've got to go now before I get the hook, or the people with a net at the very least. Fitzgerald is going fishing, where she'll wait with bait to rout some trout, amass some bass, or maybe flounder will surround her.
Woke up this morning, wanted to cry. Then I remembered, yes, I know why. He's a real good one for having his cake. I'm gonna go fishing or jump in the lake. I'm going fishing, that's what I'll do. Think about nothing, not even you. Catch a real big one, a big speckled trout. Snapping in the water, I'll pull him on out. If a man is a liar, a man is a fool. Playing for keeper and breaking the rules. He'll be the loser, yes, he'll find out. I'm gonna go fishing and catch me a trout. Catch me a trout.
If you've been cooped up in a house or apartment all afternoon, here's your chance to get out as we travel to Jerusalem for a report from ABC correspondent Marlon Levin.
Jerusalem is home. So come in, Levin, to you, bless and shalom.
Marlon Levin, ABC, Jerusalem. For the more cultured sector of the Israeli population, the national pastime is trying to buy season subscription tickets to the Israel Philharmonic Orchestra. The orchestra has the largest number of subscribers of any symphony in the world, and still there is a big demand for more. It gives over 200 concerts a year, and subscriptions are at a premium. The search for one such subscription by a Jerusalem music lover not so long ago resulted in a marital finale scored in a minor key. The music lover had only one subscription, which he shared with his wife. He wanted to buy another so that he could attend concerts together with her. All last season, he noticed that one seat near him in the concert hall was empty. This season, he contacted the orchestra management to buy it, but he was told that it was sold. The music lover asked for the owner's name and phone number. He called the number and said, "I understand that you have a subscription to the concerts, but I noticed that all last season you did not attend. Would you be interested in selling me the seat?" Silence on the other end for a few seconds, then a man's bewildered voice replied, "I bought that seat for my wife. Are you sure you did not see her at any of the concerts?" Not long after that sour note passed, a suit for divorce was opened in a Jerusalem court. The deceived husband quickly got his divorce and sold the music lover the subscription. When last heard of, the absentee concert goer went off with her lover, but not, as one might hope, to a concert. Marlon Levin, ABC, Jerusalem.
Thanks, Marlon. Peggy Lee sings the new Frontier song, "I'm Walkin'."
Presentation of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.